Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm gay and I'm proud. It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century from I Love Lucy to News Radio. I'm your TV guide, Barb Hardley, and I want all of you to say hello to the Nantucket to my Martha's Vineyard, Ethan K. Hello, Ethan.
Hey, Barb. That was the best. That was my favorite intro. I am now an island in Massachusetts.
You're an island unto yourself, and I'm Martha's Vineyard because I am a woman. And welcome to the final Pride Month installment of Must Have Seen TV, because Pride Month is a year long. I don't care what anyone has to say.
Our Pride Month went until August. We are recording now on August 19th. There's been some travel, so we haven't been able to get in the old studio, which is our two offices, and record in the past couple weeks. There have been some family things. Oof. But we're happy to record and happy to see that some of our numbers are really going up on YouTube.
Come on through.
Our Alfred Hitchcock episode has over 450 views, which either says a lot about us or it says a lot about Hitchcock.
About Mr. Hitchcock. And I have not. Barb is back. I'm doing drag. I have not done drag for most of Pride Month, which has been, I don't know, not an oxymoron, but inappropriate. I should have been in drag the entire month, but whatever. But I think that I look stunning. Let's just take a whole look. Hop onto YouTube so you can see the full eleganza.
The Prince and the Showgirls, starring Barb Hardley and Laurence Olivier.
This is my audition to be one of Dean Martin's gold diggers. And since he is dead, I think that I have a good shot at it.
Just keep sending him those letters and emails, and he'll get back to you one of these days. I know he will. He loves his fans.
But so I thought that it would. Oh, I need to actually readjust the mic.
Whoa.
The camera. Hi.
That's a bit down the front, Barb.
Oh, God.
The microphone. The microphone leaped off the desk.
Everyone, we're fine. We're fine.
We're back.
Cool. Anyway, that's a good angle. Hike up the boobs. We're good. Well, one of the things that this is actually appropriate to Pride Month, and it's appropriate to the episode we're talking about today, is one of the things that I did while I was away was in theory, I'm on a television show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
HBO's We're Here, which is the drag, it's a docu-series. You could call it a makeover show, but it really isn't. It's more than that. It's an Emmy-winning drama, real life. I love how just standing up wins me. This is something that I discovered during this very story. Like, the premise of the show is three drag race girls. Three queens go to small towns and pluck people from the local community, gay and straight, across all the spectrums, and put them in drag to do a show. But the real point of it is to like focus on the local queer communities and all these places where they aren't as lucky as New York City or, you know, Los Angeles or the big cities. And they just so happen to be shooting the season 4 premiere in my hometown of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Which is wild, but also it's like sad that they needed the show. But they had their Pride Month canceled by the like board of by the city, whatever. And so We're Here was like, well, we're going to go and give them a Pride. And one of the things involved an open night, open call drag show at the bar where I came out of the closet. And so I flew down to do drag at the bar where I first told my three best friends that I was a homosexual. I kissed my first boy across the street in the parking lot of the college's stadium. Okay. So, yeah, it was wild.
I knew that part of the story. I didn't realize it was the parking lot of the college's stadium. You hadn't told me that part before.
Because the man, the boy, the gentleman that I came out for, we were both TV production majors, and we were working truck production, which is where you have the mobile production truck and you do sporting events usually. So we were doing the college football game that night.
Ah.
And he was running. No, he was running. Was he running the Chiron? And I was doing like slow motion. But the entire night I just spent thinking about him.
You were running hot.
I was, because he came out to me like a week earlier. And that was the first time that a guy that I thought was cute was actually a homosexual. And it was like, oh, if I wanted to kiss him, in theory, he would be down. Just, you know, logistically, it would work. Because usually all the men that I found attractive were straight men. And so I was like, well, all straight men feel this way, clearly. And so then we kissed for that's why it was at the stadium.
That's a good story, though. I
got to do drag after Sasha Velour, who's one of the new hosts, who is my favorite drag queen of all time, season 9 winner of RuPaul's Drag Race, which I have shown you at least once or twice. I don't know.
We've seen it twice. The only drag race that I've seen is that particular season, because you invited people over to watch it, and we're like, oh, this is great. And then you've invited us over for Seb's birthday, and Seb wanted to watch Drag Race, and he said, oh, let's watch my favorite season. So we just watched the same season over again, like honestly, like 2 years later. So
yeah, and I will also say that if anyone wants to have Drag Race party, season 9 is the perfect season, because every episode is 45 minutes or 40 minutes, so you can actually watch an entire season in a day. It has episode by episode the best lip syncs of the entire series, I think, episode for episode. It has a lot of shocks, a lot of twists and turns, and then the finale is the first RuPaul's Drag Race finale to actually be exciting and to actually like, and it changed the entire franchise. So I told Sasha Velour all this when I met her. I was like, we have season 9 parties. We love. So yeah, it was wild that I had to follow her.
You hadn't met her before.
No, I've interviewed about 150 Ru girls in my day job. She's one that I hadn't. And so meeting her was actually a big deal.
Fun.
And for my number, I did a mix of, Jessie Ware's, oh my God, Free Yourself. But the verses I subbed out with the I Dream of Jeannie commercial from Nick at Night, early 90s. I am sitting on the sofa. There's a TV in the corner. And then the second verse was the Green Acres theme, just the Ava Gabor part. So on brand.
Very cool. Very cool. You got to go to Tennessee. You got to be on television. You got to do drag in public like you've wanted to do for the past.
My second show, and it was in front of three RuPaul's Drag Race winners. Yeah. In the bar where I came out of the closet. So the episode should air, I guess, early next year. I don't really know what their timetable is. And I also don't even know how much of the show is going to be included in the series. But it's just like, whatever, I did it. And it was amazing. So
you had to sign a release and everything? You had to do all that?
Yes, I did. Yeah. So,
all right, so. There's nothing legally stopping you from being on this television show.
Please give me my... Because then maybe my family will actually watch it and understand me just a millimeter. So we're gonna have some stuff to talk about with this episode. Because I went to Tennessee to do drag, and my entire family knew that. Well, I also went because my nephew It was weird, wild, serendipitous, bad timing of like my nephew was having a health issue. So I was already planning on going down and they were like, we're actually in Murfreesboro this week. And I was like, well, this is a wild confluence of events. So I spent time with my family and they knew that I was also doing the show and not one of them mentioned it. So anyway, what have you been watching?
What have I been watching? that's a good question. There hasn't been a lot that's really jumped out. Although the new My Adventures with Superman has been a lot of fun. That's the new anime-inspired Superman show that's on Max, formerly HBO Max.
Which rebranding is worse? HBO Max as Max? So, like, which billionaire idiot... rebranding is worse, HBO Max as Max or Twitter as X?
Twitter as X completely, because
the Max dumbest is, thing
Max, you know, there were HBO Max for a while and they dropped the HBO. Twitter has no X's in the name. There's no reason to call it X.
And also the fact that it came out that he wanted to rename PayPal X like 15 yeah. like a long time ago, and the board was like, absolutely not. Good day to you, sir. So it is wild that it's just like he's just wanted to name a company X for a long time. And Twitter, oh, darn, Twitter got it.
Yeah, the one that I read about last night was that yesterday he removed the block button from Twitter X. So you can't block anyone. And it's believed to be because he finally saw the numbers of the number of people who are blocking him currently. Unfortunately, for all the major internet platform, phone platforms, you have to have a block button for your social app to be accepted by the store. So we're going to see how that plays out. He is a dumb con man.
Dumb man. Yeah.
Dumb con man.
But My Adventures with Superman. Good.
My Adventures with Superman. I said that really fast. My Adventures with Superman is a fun show. It's a different origin of a whole bunch of classic Superman villains. I want to think that Superman's going through a little bit of a resurgence. He's got his ups and downs, but the Superman comics have been really good. He's got this new movie coming out. They just cast some people. I don't remember the names because Rachel Brosnahan.
Yeah, that's good. That's what I know.
She's Lois Lane. Not in the new movie, not the cartoon show, but the cartoon show is entertaining and we are enjoying that. How about you? What are you watching?
Have you
had time to watch anything?
Am I not watching? Oh, well, okay. So Drag Race France.
Okay.
So, you know, there are currently airing right now are Drag Race Mexico, Drag Race France, Drag Race Down Under, and Drag Race Philippines. So all four of those are airing at once right now. This is the life that I lead. So I don't watch all of them weekly. Like I'll like let them pile up. And then on like a weeknight, I'll watch like three Mexicos in a row. But we got caught up with Drag Race France. And I will say that Drag Race France is the best season of any Drag Race show, of which there have been 9 so far this year. It is the best of all of them. And I highly recommend people figure out a way to watch it. WoW Presents Plus is the, you know, easiest way. But it is absolutely phenomenal. It has big season 9 energy. I tried to do my eyebrows like Cookie Cunty, who is one of the queens, but didn't work as much. And also, oddly enough, Cookie Cunty out of drag looks like the guy that I kissed in a stadium parking lot. he looks a lot like the guy that I came out of the closet to be with, who then left me immediately to be with Jesus. But you know,
I hope they're happy together.
No, he finally came out and has a long-term partner, so he's well, good. And also we didn't stop after kissing from, you know, November 5th to when I moved to New York the next August. Plenty more happened. Sex was had, etc. It was wild Sam and Diane level nonsense. Anyway, but speaking of Sam and Diane and Cheers, because this show is in the same universe.
We're talking about Wings.
This week, we're traveling to December 14th, 1990. Home Alone ruled the box office. Because I Love You, the Postman song by Stevie B topped the charts, which is a song that I was like, I had no idea what this is until I listened to it and I heard the chorus and I was like, okay, I vaguely remember this. And NBC aired the Wings episode, There's Always Room for Cello. Ethan, you must have seen There's Always Room for Cello before today.
I can guarantee you that I have not sat through an entire episode of Wings ever. Because I thought it was...
Ever.
It's come on and I've watched like a little bit and I'm just like, this is okay. But it never feels like the stakes are ever big. It's a very mild show.
I will say, I think multiple houses burned down as plot points on this show. So the stakes were high every now and then. I think that later on, Joe's brother, Brian, I think burns down his house and then they get a new house and he might burn that one accidentally. Having sex with a bunch of candles, not having sex with candles, but having sex and having candles going and then letting them. Anyway.
Knowing this is the 90s and thinking about all the other 90s sitcoms, and this is granted early 90s, this is a very, very mild intro to the series where I know how in the 90s there was a lot of slap bass, there was a lot of heavy there was like a lot of things coming at you all the time and very tried to be very edgy, and this, the opening to this show is literally a Schubert piano concerto and shots of planes landing and Nantucket, and it's literally what you would see behind karaoke when you're trying to do a very, very slow Neil Diamond song.
Come Sail Away.
Oh, Come Sail Away is the Misfits compared to this opening.
So I did watch Wings growing up. I think that Wings was actually one of the first adult sitcoms that I watched, because I was big into TGIF, which those are not adult sitcoms.
No, they're for kids.
But Wings was one of the first NBC sitcoms that I was aware of. I don't remember what the first episode I watched was. What I find interesting about Wings is Tony Shalhoub not in this season, I do believe. They took them. It's kind of Night Court, the show that came on before it, in that it took them a little while to get that cast set up.
Thomas Hayden Church was the other kind of big star because he's the comic relief, stoic, kind of dumb guy. He left before the season ended, before the series ended, came back as a guest star for a couple episodes, and then was not in the last season at all. Tony Shalhoub came on, I think, when it was a third season,
mm-hmm.
And then he became a regular. Amy Yazbek.
Ritter's widow.
John Ritter's widow, but I was going to say Problem Child films. She is very associated with the show. She didn't join until, I want to say, the last three seasons, maybe last two. It's a show that lasted long enough, 8 seasons, for it to go through some cast changes. But the main cast, Tim Daly, Steve Weber, Crystal Bernard, David Schramm for the entire series.
Oh, and Faye, whoever, I can't remember who played
her. Faye, yeah. I didn't pull it up. And just kind of looking at everyone else's cast list, she was the one that was just a TV actor. I don't want to say just a TV actor, but I don't think that she had any big breakout roles in the same way that Steven Weber might.
Steven Weber is still popping up on stuff today. And every single time I'm like, there's Brian.
Yeah.
Well, and Tim Daly voiced Superman.
Voiced Superman.
In the 90s.
He plays Joe Hackett. He's the he and his brother Brian own a small airport a small airline on Nantucket. They do little jaunts over to Boston and Martha's Vineyard, little short things. This is the concept of the show. That I didn't know much about it other than it was a small, tiny airport. Didn't know where it was. Interestingly enough, today in the news, a plane crashed in Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, no.
Everyone's okay.
Brian!
It was a small plane from Martha's Vineyard to Montauk, and everyone's fine. But I'm just like, oh, that's very, very interesting that happened today.
What I find it like, so I read the Warren Littlefield's book, Top of the Rock, I think is what it's called. That is his time at NBC. So it's basically like the golden, like 20 years of the 80s and 90s. And it runs through like the creation of all these shows. And what I find funny is that like the one running, well, there's, you know, there are running themes throughout the book, but one that keeps coming up over and over again is just everyone being like, oh, wings. All executives, all producers, like everyone just like, oh, wings, and like wings was there. Like they're like, it's Cheers in an airport. Like everyone behind the scenes at NBC seemed to be very dismissive of wings. But Wings was a hit, and Wings, you can stream. You can stream Wings on a lot of places.
Yeah, I watched it on Amazon Prime because I was watching it from my laptop.
And I watched it from Paramount Plus.
That's the other place. I could have watched it there, but I didn't.
So it is, yes, like, you know, it has, and it launched a lot of careers. So, yep. I mean, Shalhoub. Thomas Hayden Church, Tony Shalhoub, Monk himself. And Tim Daly pops up on some Hallmark stuff every now and then, and I usually get excited about that.
Tim Daly,
Crystal Barnard started a gospel singing career, so I don't know.
I did learn that she was in Slumber Party Massacre 2 and is one of the creepy background extras in Birdhouse in Your Soul, the video from They Might Be Giants.
Work, Crystal Barnard.
Yeah, she's got a singing career.
But this week on Must Have Seen TV, we will be talking about the Wings episode. There's always room for cello. It's the 10th episode of season 2 and was written by Peter Casey and David Lee, who is a homosexual, and directed by Noam Pitlick. Here's how Paramount Plus describes the episode. Roy gets the surprise of his life when he agrees to let his star athlete son take cello lessons from Helen. Ethan, how accurate is this description?
Hells yeah. I mean, that's it. It's less about the, I want to say it's less about the cello lessons. Like an unskilled show would make it about the cello lessons. It's not about the cello lessons.
It's about the homosexual in the room.
It's about people.
It's about people. Wings is people.
It's about family, Barb. And that's what I think it all
found
it all
family.
Found family and real family. It's got a great guest star in Abraham Ben Ruby.
Love Abraham Ben Ruby.
Love him in things. You might remember him.
Watched television in the 90s.
Yeah.
You saw him. He was, was his name Jerry on ER? Like, he was in almost every episode for the first, like, 10 years. He was never a main cast. And then he was also Olaf the Troll on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
A lot of people remember him as being Kubiak, the bully in Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Which was before this.
It was before this, yes.
So he was probably even more babyface than he is here.
He's also gigantic.
Yeah.
And I also learned, fun fact, that he was also a roadie for No Doubt.
Oh, hell, wait.
On their first tour.
Before Don't Speak. So I'm like, yeah. He was on ER. Like, why is he going out and being a roadie for No Doubt at that point? No. So the episode opens with a cold open, which is just a joke that has nothing to do with the rest of the episode. It's just Joe, Tim Daly, asking Faye, the older but sassy, like, she's like, she works the announcements.
Yeah, she's like, she works the desk where people, you know,
desk attendant,
they ask questions, she checks tickets, that kind of stuff.
He asks her, is this a 5 or an 8? And then she's like, you know what? People always think and never tell my 5s and 8s apart, blah, 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 blah. He's like, well, is it a 5 or an 8? She's like, it's a 7. Do, do, do,
we're
do,
gone.
Do, do, do,
and that's
do,
it.
Do,
do. That's the opening.
Yeah.
A joke that probably could have survived from the last Ice Age.
Now, I will say, this episode of Wings, on the whole, there are a lot of jokes in this.
Yeah, I mean, it lives up to the promise that it's a sitcom, a situation comedy.
There's situations and there's comedy. But, like, I don't think... There might be one, but it's all very... They're gentle jokes. A lot of them are jokes I don't see coming, which is good, but they aren't like super sharp and like make you, I laughed harder at O'Madeline, you know, like.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. There are a couple places where I did just go and I wrote it down because I thought it was interesting. There were enough jokes where I was just kind of like, okay, yeah, that's a different writer wrote that joke.
Well, and that actually is kind of a subplot of this episode because so like it opens with Faye like giving the announcement. She's like, our flights to Martha's Vineyard in Boston and Calcutta are leaving soon. And then everyone's like, whoa, she's like, just making sure you're listening. Because obviously they're not flying to Calcutta. And then like Brian and Lowell are both like eagerly watching the bathrooms upstairs because a woman's gone up there. They switched the signs, men and women. And they're like, oh, can't wait to see how this turns out. And it turns out Joe had already switched them back because he was like, hey, these were switched up here. So the running, the like sub plot is Joe doesn't have a sense of humor. And I think there's is like, they tie it up in the coal, in the stinger at the very end, but nary a mention for the bulk of the episode.
Now, I don't remember the show very well, but I do remember Steven Weber and I don't remember Tim Daly at all.
Oh, wow. I think I had a crush on Tim Daly. I think I remember him for that reason.
Since this is the final Pride Month, there is a sad story about Tim Daly and homosexuality. He, I believe, is straight. His father, James Daly, was an actor previous generation, had a family. Was in the show called Medical Center, which was a big drama.
That sounds right. In like the 50s and 60s, they're like, what are buildings? Medical Center? That's a show.
Hotel, you know.
Hotel? That's a show.
He did an episode of Twilight Zone, which was pretty good. And after, you know, he had his wife and kids, he's like, I am gay. I am going to go through conversion therapy because this is a disease.
Oh no.
And then he just abandoned his family because he didn't want his homosexuality to affect his wife and children. So he left them.
Oh no, Tim.
What the fuck?
That's not how the story was supposed to go. Like,
no,
he went through conversion therapy, but it didn't work. And he got out and did he die? What happened? Did he
He did die.
He's dead, yeah. But that's how lifespans work.
We all died.
Oh God.
Yeah. So that's the sad story. There to counterbalance the happy story that happens in this episode, there is that real life behind the scenes drama in Tim Daly's life, whose sister, by the way, is Tyne Daly.
Oh, right. That's wild.
From Cagney and Lacey.
Because she is like, she has to be significantly older than him, right?
I don't know. I don't know the ages of these people.
Yeah, but, Oh boy, that's upsetting.
That's a sad story. That's a sad story.
But then we finally get like what the actual plot is going to be, because Roy, who is played by David Schramm, who is the jerk, he runs like the other airline, tiny airline that like runs out of the airport. There are like two airlines.
It's the two competing airlines. Roy's kind of like the bigger fish, and the other airline, Sandpiper Air, is the smaller of the two, and they both go through the same airport, the Tom Nevers Airport, which is a fictional airport.
And he's a lecherous like jerk, like, you know, he's that character. Yeah. Got to have that character. Always looking for that buck. Always looking for the ladies. He's very happy because his 17-year-old son, who is a football person, he plays
defensive tackle.
Okay, I didn't write that down. No, I did. Starting defensive tackle at the high school. He's 17 years old and he has a 19-inch neck, baby, and he's very proud of his masculine son.
His masculine, big-necked son, played by Abraham Ben-Rudy, who is about the size of a pyramid. He's gigantic. He's a huge man.
Well, and so it's really it's a really good setup for the story, because Roy goes on a very long monologue basically about how he taught his son to be a man, basically. Like,
yes.
masculine. Like, he was just like, you know, mom used to hate all this, but what the hell? She's dead now. Like, you know, like she's very into it. And this is what I want. Well, I don't think any conservative Christians listen to the podcast anymore, but I will say, look how hard Roy tried and it didn't work. Now, do you think that my parents gave me wigs and dresses? No, they would grab Barbie dolls off of the like rack and be like, do you want this for Christmas? Of course not. Like, rub it in your face. No matter how hard you try. If your son is a homosexual, he's gonna be fabulous eventually, is what I'm getting at. You can't stop queer people because you keep giving birth to us.
You got off on that exit and you can't get back on the highway.
So, nope. Roy tried hard.
Roy tried hard.
He's gonna find out what it didn't take.
They threw in a weird fat joke that I wasn't very cool with, where Roy's talking about his old high school football days, and he's pointing to the skinny Brian, and he goes, I used to eat guys like you for lunch. And Brian goes, oh, looks like you ate a few of us.
Which is kind of an example of the humor we get on Wings. Like, it's just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, the way it works is that Joe, this more straight-laced brother, kind of comes in with the wry jokes that are a little bit more tame, and Brian's the more wild kind of crazy one, played by Steven Weber, and he's like, he gets in the kind of like the baser jokes, mm-hmm. but also a little bit more creative.
Like, so like after Roy gives his whole spiel, Helen, who is Crystal Bernard, who is like she runs the little diner there. She's Southern. She's a professional cellist on Nantucket, working at it. She's got a lot going on. Her character's got a lot. She's also Joe's love interest off and on. And so she's like, Roy's son's, I got a weird phone call last night. Someone like wanting me, like it was, God. Wait, no. Then Brian, like Joe says, like,
someone wanted it was cello Brian lessons.
It was like Brian making sucking sounds.
Okay, to explain the joke a little bit, she's like, weird. I got a weird phone call, and it wasn't from you, Brian. And she goes, and Brian goes, no. And she goes, no, those weren't wet. There weren't any wet sucking sounds. And then Brian goes, oh, that's just the opener, baby. If you didn't hang up, you'd see that.
Yeah, he called it like an icebreaker.
Yeah.
Okay. But also just like hearing wet sucking sounds was like, oh boy. Ew. But it turns out it was RJ, and he was asking for cello lessons. And so she was like, yeah, I'll give them to him. Roy doesn't know, obviously, because cellos are gay. So they, of course, wouldn't let him know yet. But she says, so he's coming over here later because we're going to practice in the warehouse. And it's not because they don't want to build another set to only use for this episode. It is because her downstairs neighbor is complaining that the sound of Helen's cello is making her cat sterile. To which Lowell says, maybe the best joke the entire episode is like, oh, the noise is making her cat sterile. Oh, I wish you'd play for my sister. I like that.
Lowell doesn't change expression ever. I made a note of that. Doesn't ever change expression. There's also a fun line where they said, oh, you know, RJ is the jock. Maybe you're going to give him some culture and refinement. And she goes, culture and refinement? I have gambling debts.
Oh, yeah.
That was cute.
See, a lot going on with Helen. But then it turns out, like, I guess what later on they find out, no, Roy does know. What everyone else doesn't know is what he thinks is RJ's reason for coming.
Yeah.
Which RJ, apparently, in order to get Roy to, like, let him do this or to, like, just have no questions asked, had to be like, Dad, I'm horny for Helen.
And then Roy's like, well, play some cello.
Yeah, please.
Believe me, that math works in some people.
Yeah. God, and then that leads to some nice double entendre where like Helen doesn't know this, of course. And so she's like, yeah, you know, I have a real hands-on approach. And then all the guys are snickering because subplot, they're all very into jokes this episode. And this is a great practical joke. So they're all like watching a little bit. And then she also says, you know, before long, he'll be taking out his instrument and entertaining the family.
Everyone now, thought it was good.
So now I'm like, I'm trying to relate myself to RJ as the resident homosexual, as if viewers and listeners couldn't tell. No, I'm trying to think about if I ever lied to. I think I just didn't do the gay stuff. If there was like a whiff of they could question anything, I just didn't do it.
That's kind of how Roy is feeling, is that his son RJ has given him no indication that anything is different.
Yeah. So now we get the first cello lesson. Right. Yes.
In the hangar,
which is a huge set. Like later when they pan to like show the rest of it, I'm like, this is ginormous.
It's huge. And I think that she starts off as the weird. She doesn't do a good job of teaching the cello because she asks, can you read music? And he says no. And her only explanation on reading music is, well, this note here is the hen, and that's the whole note. And these notes here are the little chicks. These are eighth notes. And I'm like, I didn't learn eighth notes for like 6 months when I started the piano. You start out with whole notes and quarter notes. You don't just go bum, 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 bum. No, you go bum, bum, bum. This is thrilling for people bum, watching bum, bum, on bum. YouTube, I'm sure.
Well, and she also only has a little book for little children to like teach them. So it's all like with hens and chickens and
stuff. I still have my version, which has little gnomes. And it's from the 1950s and is unfortunately racist in parts, but it's what I got in 1987, 1986, 1987 when I started playing. I still have it. It's sitting next to my keyboard right now.
Aww. So as soon as like the lesson starts, they're going at it. And then Joe like walks in and pulls Helen aside to tell her.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Like, hey, this is actually like what's happening. Yes. And what I like is that she's not mad when she finds out that
she's like, it's and not so she... there. You know, there is no hint of impropriety or threat.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's cute that this person who towers over me by literally 3 feet likes me. And I'm just going to play with that. I'm just gonna be comfortable with that.
Abraham Ben Ruby was like, I can't imagine they had anyone else in mind for this, or like he came in, they were like, well, shut down auditions. It's clearly him because he is young, huge, like, but also I could never imagine him hurting anyone.
No.
Even before we find out that he's gay, when they're like, he's horny for Helen, it's like, well, I'm not imagining him posing any threat to her. I'm like, he might give her a flower, you know, like,
yeah,
that's
it's good casting. Abraham Ben Ruby has done a great body of work, and this is just him being a young actor and gigantic.
Yeah, it is great. So she goes out and she's like, well, we can just put this, you know, cello pretense aside, let's talk about, she starts talking about hormones, but wait, then she starts panicking about,
because if he he just keeps saying, I just want the cello lessons. Yeah. I just want to learn the cello.
Like, and she's like,
yeah, she's like, don't you like me? And he's like, I just want to play the cello. Just want to play the cello.
He ultimately is like, it's not you, it's me. I'm gay. And what I like is that she's not shocked at first. They go to commercial break and they cut on her not being. She's like, oh, okay. Or, you know, she's like relieved. She's like, oh, thank God he's still like, you know, he's not into me because he's a homosexual. I'm still hot. And then, but then it comes back and he's kind of like, and she's like, well, dude, is there really not, like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's the thing that I remember seeing it in like every sitcom that where a character says they're gay is that, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you positive about that?
So she does all that and he's, and yeah. I like that he's like, I've gone to the library. Donahue did a whole week on it. I have, you know, I haven't found anyone to be gay with, but, you know, I'm pretty sure.
Which I don't know. I mean, I've been to Nantucket once. I am sure you can probably find somebody to be gay with now in Nantucket.
Yeah, this is a tiny place, man.
It's pretty small. Boy. They had a really good ice cream, I recall.
I haven't been. But what I love is instead of this being a sad coming out story, there are things to talk about later on. But right here, there is a happiness. Like he comes out, this is the first person he's told, and he is suddenly so happy.
Yeah.
He's like, this feels great. And I want anyone, if you are closeted and questioning whether or not to come out of the closet, that is accurate. It feels so good to finally say, I'm gay. I remember that night driving back from the Borough Bar and Grill after kissing my first boy and telling my three best friends that, you know, I guess I'm in a relationship with this guy now. I was like, just like screaming so happily while driving home. Just like, so such like euphoria that this episode conveys, which actually is a part of coming out that we don't really see that much. And then he immediately starts telling everybody.
Yeah, there's no joke to it. He's just like someone who walks in the door. He's
hey,
like,
I'm gay.
Hey, I'm gay. And everyone's like,
she's like, oh, everyone should be happy. And then Joe comes in and Joe's response is kind of funny where he's like, pulls Helen aside and is like, 5 minutes ago he was horny for you and now he's gay. What did you do? Like, it's funny. But then he tells Brian and Lowell, and then is it like Lowell is like, what? He's like, and then RJ's like, well, what do I have to do to prove it to you? And he's like, nothing, absolutely nothing. I also thought it was funny.
I felt that there was just a lot of support and not a lot of judging from the main crew.
Yeah, this isn't like Cheers, where you find out that half of the cast are just full on homophobes. But I still love Cliff, and I know that his homophobia comes from being closeted. Cliff, you can come out. It's fine.
And this show did cross over with Cheers Cliff in several places, and Frasier.
Yeah, created by the same people.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, this is another kind of like just dark thing about planes. Is that the creator, the producer, David Angel?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, God.
Died in the first plane to hit the World Trade Center?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the show itself is so dull, but everything around it, you're like, wait, what?
Well, I also think Thomas Hayden Church left the show under... I feel like something shady went on.
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I need to go back in the newspapers and do a Sasha Mitchell on him. But I feel like he was accused of something, or like there was something that happened. I don't know. I should have done the research, but I was too busy being beautiful and really just like getting into it. I have been doing drag on this podcast, I don't know, probably a year now, and I look great. I have come so far. I'm very good at doing drag. Please book me for live performances. But no, he's telling everybody, and all Brian wants is like, have you told Roy? You haven't. I need to be there. This needs to happen. I need to watch him freak out.
Because he needs to tell his dad. Because he wants to tell his dad. He's just like, I'm telling everybody, and the person closest to me is my dad. We tell each other everything. He's my best friend.
Which is wild.
So he's held off on telling his dad, but in the meantime, he's told everybody else to the point where Nantucket has organized its first pride parade. He is the grand marshal of the first pride parade, and he still has to tell his dad.
And like, this is like the next day when Helen finds out, she pulls him aside, and I like how she says, you've been a busy little fella, haven't you? So I love that. And then he's like, yes, I'm gay and I'm proud. And I'm like, yes, good. You should be. I am proud of how sexy I look. I mean, like, Ethan, like, you know, we've known each other for since 2007.
2007.
It's like if we could transport back to 2007 and be like, one day, this is what will be happening.
I'd be living in Westchester. You'd be living in Jamaica.
Jamaica, Queens, dressed as a woman.
Married with both of us married with cats.
Lots of cats. And because when I met you, I was dating my, that was only the second official like boyfriend I'd ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And was an old still
friend, who was a friend of mine, still a friend of yours, still a friend mm-hmm. of mine.
I think he is he's really the only ex that I didn't just completely.
That's life. But we are, I want to say that we are the same people we were all those years ago, but we are just better versions of ourselves.
Yeah, I am so much I'm very happy for little RJ here, because he's a fictional character, but he has gone through a good decade's worth of like inner work in like overnight, which I, you know, is not realistic. Maybe it is. It's really good to see though. He's like an instant, it gets better. Like it's not, it gets better. It's like, oh, it got better. Like immediately, because it took me until my 30s to be comfortable with really, really comfortable with being a homosexual. And now look at me. So,
well, I don't know if maybe the next time we do a Pride Month plus like we did this time, but maybe we revisit Wings, because RJ only makes one other appearance.
And it is 5 years later.
It is 5 years later, but it is nominated for a GLAAD award.
Yeah. I've seen the episode. It's because he has someone and wants to introduce him.
And he's introducing his boyfriend to his dad.
So he needs to tell his dad because the pride parade is coming, and they're like, he doesn't need to find out from a float. Which is also mirrors how I came out, because I was like, well, I have to come out because my first article for CBR, Comic Book Resources, is about me being gay. So if it's going to be on the internet, I should probably make sure I tell them.
And unfortunately, like, Crystal Bernard does the wrong thing. She sets him up and she's like, Roy, your son has something to tell you, which is
very
like,
important.
Not your place to do that.
Yeah. And then he comes in, he asks for RJ to give it to him straight. And RJ says, I'm gay. Roy faints. Act break, you know?
Yeah.
And then this is a very accurate coming out scene. This is a very good coming out scene in that it is, this is about as contentious as a coming out scene as you could get in a 90s sitcom, which means not much, but it doesn't have a happy ending, really.
Not really. Well, I wanna, before we jump into that, do you think that Roy's concern is with A, I don't like gay people, or B, I have so much built up for my son's future in football that I don't believe that gays can play football and have this career that I have dreamed of for him?
I mean,
I'd say it's more the latter.
You know, I don't know how Yankees think. If he was from the South, I would be like, he definitely hates gay people. And I can also say, like, he might be like, you know, I don't have no problem with gay people. You know, But I can also think that he's definitely icked out by the idea of two men having sex. I think that is 100% Roy is not gonna, you know, and I also think Roy seems to be so, it is wild. And I think this is also very accurate in telling. Is Roy a paragon of manly masculinity?
He's a lech.
I mean, like, he is a slovenly, mustachioed, like, out of breath, sweaty, like, used car salesman. But it's always these kind of guys who were always very, like, men, masculine, blur, you know? Yeah. And it's like, Dad, what are you talking about? Like,
yeah,
why aren't you pumping protein drinks and, like, jacked as hell, you know? Like... But it's like, yeah, so I don't know, I think that he is I think that, you know, for my parents it was a lot of they can't believe I hadn't told them, and then also just the, like, never having had to think about gay people period, and yeah, then having to confront, like, what basically was like, I'm trying to think of a good metaphor here, but it's like, oh hey, we got a request for everything that I know about homosexuals. Okay, let me go to the filing cabinet. And you're just like, one piece of paper, you know? And so I think that, because, like, that's very much how my parents reacted. They asked some very, other people would say, offensive questions.
I would say probably offensive, not even knowing the questions.
So I think that's also probably what Roy is dealing with, is he just, like, has no idea what this means. And I think his immediate go-to is also like, well, he can't play football.
Yeah.
Be a pro. What the hell? Like, you're not,
that's what he says. He says it at least once, I think twice. Yes. Like, I thought you were going to play football. And he's, and RJ's like, I'm still gonna, that's still my dream too.
What I also like is like, Roy, honey, baby, sit down. It is, the odds of RJ being a professional football player are way lower than the odds of him being a homosexual. Yeah. It's always been way more likely that your son was going to be gay than an NFL player.
And Abraham Ben-Rudy didn't become a professional football player. He became a professional actor.
See,
so not everyone, like, who's built like a fucking monolith plays ball professionally.
And Roy should be happy because he's like, he still likes all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like he was lying to his dad about, which is also what I tried to point out to my parents of like, I'm still like, I know you guys have, you know, which I now realize is me, my own internalized homophobia, which is like, I don't all of a sudden like musicals and stuff.
And that hasn't changed.
No, it's not really. It's like,
yeah, it's really you're you.
But I do like men and would love to time travel and have sex with Robert Wagner if anyone could figure that out before 1981.
Now, Barb, we're going to get a whole bunch of emails from crazy mad scientists. They're like, I got it. I can make your dream come true.
Well, you know what? I'm into it. That sounds like a good place to podcast from.
That sounds like an amazing Back to the Future reboot.
I'm here to go have sex with Robert Wagner in like the weird like period of time before he married Natalie Wood again in the early 70s.
Marty, I invented a time machine, but don't go back and have sex with Robert Wagner. And you're like, oh, but that's the only thing I want to do is go back and have sex with Robert Wagner.
Fuck Robert Wagner. Oh, Lord. So they basically is like, well, let's like have a one-on-one game. They start playing basketball, which is when we find out that they've been standing in like a cavern on a stage, like the entire rest of the soundstage.
And the basketball game, the stakes of the basketball game are, RJ, if I win, you're not gay. And if you win, you're gay, which is just like, okay, all right, that's weird.
Which also is like this, it's a good metaphor. No idea. Well, I don't know. One of the writers was gay. So they're actually, you could actually read a lot into this and think he's probably, he might be... Going from experience, parents will bend over backwards just to try to like justify, try to like work this new triangle peg into the Bible shaped hole or whatever, you know, like they'll figure anything out, and it doesn't really work. But also the music is very peppy during this montage. It's like they're treating this like montage as like, oh, it's fun.
I just never felt the stakes were very high on Wings.
No, not until the houses started being burned down. And even then, I don't know.
Did they show like a burned out house, or did they just have someone walk into the old airline set being like, oh, the house burned down?
Oh, I don't know. I need to watch the whole series.
I doubt they built an entire set burnt down like they did for Streets of San Francisco with that hotel room.
Yeah, that hotel got ruined. And then like he's like, all of a sudden, like we cut to them like laying on the ground. They're sweaty. And Roy's like 26 out of 51. Oh, I do like that. At the beginning, Roy shoots like a 3-pointer and like lands it.
Yeah. Roy's got some skills. He's still got some skills.
I wonder how he did that. And then he says, like, well, you're my son. And the response is like, I always will be. And it's like, that's so sweet. And you think it's like, oh man, yeah, we're heading towards a resolution of some sort. It's gonna be great. Roy's not gonna be an asshole. And then he's like, well, is there any chance? No. Is there a 1 in a million chance? No. Is there a 1 in a billion chance? Just say it so I can sleep at night. And RJ's like, I don't, maybe 1 in a billion. Ah, you're not sure. I knew it. Let's keep playing. Like, and then, and that's how, that's where we end. And we'll say accurate.
Hey, it is. I have known many gay men who have had sex with women. They're just like, I want to give it a shot.
Oh, and also just Roy needing an out just so he can move on and like hold on to hope. That whole like, say it's 1 in a billion so I can sleep at night is very like, oh God, you know,
not a good trips.
The like, not like, so we don't get any understanding. We don't even really get like, I love you and accept you for who you, he doesn't. There's none of that.
No, I think the rest of the cast did that.
Yeah.
The rest of the cast played that note, but Roy doesn't.
No, like that doesn't. What we get, where he ends up is there's a 1 in a billion chance that my son might be straight, so I'm happy. And it's like, that is not the lesson to learn, but it is an accurate lesson to learn. It's realistic. Wings, you know, went for the gut.
Yeah.
And then the end.
He does have a great line. RJ does have a great line. After he finally wins, he goes, I win. I'm gay. That was just a good delivery.
Which, honey, that was me when they call the election, the 2020 election, honey. It's like, I win and I am gay. Please register to vote.
Definitely.
Please vote for Joe Biden. Anyway. And then the little stinger thing is like Brian and Joe talking, and Joe's like, oh, it's funny. I mean, everyone thinks you're gay to Brian. And I did like Joe says, yeah, you might want to stay away from the wharf, which
those guys have been out to sea for a while.
I do just like the idea of telling someone stay away from the wharf, or just the word wharf in the context of gay people. I love for some reason.
Stay tuned for our next podcast, Stay Away from the Wharf.
Stay away from the wharf, honey. And then he's like, well, yeah, you know, your walk's kind of gay. And then Brian starts to walk out and he looks at his, tries to watch his walk, which is funny. And then he goes out.
I want to say the episode kind of fizzled with that.
Yeah.
They could have done something else, but they did have to bring it back to their main characters.
Yeah.
Like, how do Joe and Brian react at the end of the day as, you know, one accuses the other one of being gay.
And they could have revealed that their dad was a homosexual, went to conversion therapy, and then disappeared. They could have done that. I wonder if that was tossed around.
I mean, that's got to feel weird for Tim Daly being like, so look, we know about your dad, and this episode's, we think it's a good episode for a good cause, but it probably might echo a little bit differently for you.
So wild. I need to learn more about that.
Yeah. He was I just remember him from a Twilight Zone episode where they land, the aliens land, and the guy in a diner hears about it through the radio and discovers that people in the diner are all aliens and stuff like
ooh,
that.
I like this. I like Twilight the sound Zone's of that.
Got good episodes.
That's my jam. Are you ready for some must-have facts?
Okay.
7.3 human being Americans watched this episode of television.
Human being Americans, maybe some animals too.
Not aliens. And it was ranked 69th for the week.
Nice.
Yep. So the NBC Friday Night lineup that this aired is part of started off with Quantum Leap, then went to Night Court, and then Wings, and then the drama called Midnight Caller.
Midnight Caller.
Talk radio. And starred Gary Cole.
Oh, Gary Cole.
Yeah, we love Gary Cole.
Yeah, he's great. Okay, so Quantum Leap, good show. Another show that I tried to get into, but if it was a shorter show, I would have enjoyed it more, but I don't think I enjoyed Quantum Leap when it came on. And Night Court, which we've done, and it's great.
Mm-hmm. And then we should do Midnight Caller. The top five TV shows of this week were Empty Nest at five. Number tied for third was A Different World in Monday Night Football. Number two was 60 Minutes. And number one was Cheers. So all is right in the world. Oh, Cheers. God, my heels.
The Cheers did cross over with Wings. I mentioned it before that Cliff and Norm guested in an episode of Wings. Lilith and Frasier mentioned that they were flying to Nantucket in an episode of Cheers, and then the next week showed up in the episode of Wings doing something in Nantucket.
That's
funny. And I did read that in one episode, Niles plays the theme song from Wings on the piano. Oh, and Rebecca shows up for an episode too.
I don't know if we needed Niles playing the Wings theme song, but whatever.
And what's crazy about it too is that it's not even like I've been watching. So our mutual friend Dan Dunford sent over a link from YouTube by someone named RWDT09 that just collects the opening credits for old TV shows. And like old promos for shows, and it's put together, and this person has put together blocks of intros for forgotten 80s and 70s TV shows.
Love.
What I'm listening to is just like these really terrible opening theme songs that are just like, he lives alone, but he has a dog, and he lives in Pittsburgh too. And it's like these really awful, like terrible things. And then you go to Wings, and Wings is like, oh, it's just gentle piano music that you might hear in like a dentist's office. And it's like, it's completely different than like, you know, she's a young single lady living in Boston, and she is also has a dog. I don't know. I'm making it up.
I mean, this is an adult, you know, sitcom.
Yeah.
About adult things.
And that's maybe why I didn't latch onto it as an 11 or 12 year old. This was an adult show.
What are you going to be watching while this airs? On ABC, we have a show called Going Places. And in this episode, Jack uses a rented Porsche to improve Charlie's image before a big date.
Sounds like they're going places. In a Porsche.
I know, a big dare.
A big dare.
Yeah. on CBS, an episode of Over My Dead Body, Nikki persuades Max to serve as butler for the wealthy Haversham family to investigate the murder of the daughter's fiance.
Ooh.
I don't know if it might be a drama. I have no idea. On NBC, we got Wings. Roy has an eye-opening experience when his son RJ takes cello lessons from Helen. And then lastly, on Fox, we got Against the Law. Flashback depicts McHeath's battle to secure reprieve from execution for a brilliant jazz musician. So Wings is the only thing I've heard of.
Yeah, Wings is the only thing I've heard of. And I'm...
So we got rented Porsche for a big dare, posing as a butler to investigate a murder, and flashbacks depicting a reprieve execution for a brilliant jazz musician.
Probably posing as the butler.
Okay.
That seems a little bit interesting. For Wings to work, I'd have to know who Roy is.
Well, yeah, I mean, I need to know who Jack, Charlie, Nikki, Max, the Havershams, McKeith. Who are these people?
McKeith.
Mac Heath.
Mac the Knife from Three Penny Opera?
Yeah, I don't, I mean, yeah, I mean, Over My Dead Body does sound fun. I like a good solving a daughter's fiance's murder. But wow. I might already be all in on Wings if I watched season one. So
Wings, since Wings is the only one that I've heard of. Now, granted, this is second season, so I don't know if this has really come off as like a big splash. This was like 69th in the ratings. Like that's
no, I mean, I think it's holding it and hanging on there. It does move to Thursdays soon after this episode airs.
And I did look at, and it starts at kind of low, and then as the seasons keep going, it trends upwards, and then right about midpoint, it starts dropping down again. So
a rising tide lifts all boats, and the rising tides are Friends and ER. Like all of NBC just kind of goes up. We loved it. It was the glory days. Take me back. On IMDb, 144 wingers gave this a 7.4 out of 10.
Yeah. That's legit. I'll get that. I'll say 7.4.
Yeah, 7.4. I think that's about right in there. I wouldn't go higher. Who had the must-see performance in this episode?
Abraham Benrudi.
Okay.
Oh, it's RJ.
I'll give it to Crystal Bernard. I thought she had some great line deliveries.
She just has some great line deliveries. And I would say honorable mention to the actor who played Roy, who I want
David
to look
Schramm?
Up.
David Schramm?
Yes, David Schramm, for playing basketball and getting all those points.
Scoring a three.
We got to see him do that. But really, RJ's just happy.
He's the heart and soul of the episode.
Yeah, everyone else is just kind of ancillary. But I think that Abraham Benrudi, you got my thumbs up. You did a great job on this one.
And must other people see this episode of television?
Yeah.
I mean, it was nice. I mean, I think in terms of seeing a diverse assortment of coming out episodes, this is definitely a different kind of one because it doesn't have a hug at the end of it.
I might also, I even though I haven't seen it, like this one was not nominated for the GLAAD Award, but the one in five seasons later was. Mm-hmm. So maybe that one has a little bit more oomph, maybe a little bit more feature. Yeah, the RJ two-parter, which they probably release on VHS.
Yeah, like the RJ Chronicles.
Yeah.
Oh, but I mean, that's it for Pride Month. And after this, turning back into a straight man. I'm sorry.
No,
it's gonna be a problem for a lot of aspects of my life.
No, don't never change. Never, don't ever change.
No, I mean, hey, I spent a week in Tennessee, and not just Tennessee. All my family moved to the more rural parts of Tennessee. So I had to spend a couple days in Shelbyville, which was fun.
That's a fictional city from The Simpsons. What are you talking about?
I tell you, after like 2 days in Shelbyville with my family, I was like, I cannot wait to put on heels and a wig and makeup. Oh my god. Oh, dress is gonna be so good. I was like, get me some work. Okay.
And you came back.
I bought a lot of comics, so
yeah, that's what I'm jealous about. You bought all those comics, and I'm like, you got the first appearance of Mystique. Got the first appearance of Misty Knight.
What I like about Mystique, and this makes sense for Mystique, is she has three first appearances, and she has two cameos and then a first full, and they're all Ms. Marvel, like 16, 17, 18. And I had all of them, but I didn't have her first cameo. Now I do.
Now you do.
It's like, great. I should say, yeah, if you're in Middle Tennessee, oh God, which one? Outer Limits in Murfreesboro, I really enjoyed. And of course, The Great Escape in not the one in Murfreesboro. And I don't think not the one downtown, if that one's still there, the one that's in front of the Old Time Pottery. but they had a very large selection of back issues and had really interesting little categories. They had like new comics that they had just bought were up front in alphabetical. So fucking key. So it's like, oh, well, these are new ones that they bought that they haven't put out into. So that's cool. And then if any new ones they bought that were worth more than $20 were in a separate place. So if you're like, ooh, I'm looking to see, you know, what's new, but, you know, potentially valuable, there you go there. And they had another section that was Bronze Age, like issues marked down.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like, you know, oh, my God, Shang-Chi's first appearance. It's worth a lot of money, you know, 2 years ago. Now, a little bit less, so it's there, kind of thing.
Did you get that? Did you buy that?
No, they didn't. No, I don't even know what that is.
Oh.
It's probably one of them weird magazines. I did buy a bunch of those weird magazines, though. I got the Paul Gulacy cover with Misty and with the Daughters of the Dragon and Black Widow, and it's, you know, it's weird. I got that one.
They were a different kind of book. Like they didn't shy away from violence and nudity.
Tits, nudity. Yeah,
they did it
in your Marvel superhero comics in the 70s.
I got a couple of them just a couple months ago. There was a claim sale and I'm like, no one's jumping on these books. And I started looking them up and I'm like, oh, they're actually like really popular and like worth something. So I got a whole bunch of like, there's like a DC fanzine that was like really good. It was like a DC fanzine that was like worth a whole bunch. And then one of them, I opened it up and there was a letter from Mark Waid, like a young Mark Waid
Love
had
it.
Typed up a letter complaining about the issue itself. So I don't know whose it was.
Wait, and like a physical letter?
Yeah, a physical like typed out letter.
Like his pen pal owned that beforehand?
A mutual friend asked, like, do you remember this? He's like, I don't remember it, but it looks like something I would do when I was like 14.
Wild.
Because it was correcting things in the issue. Be like, no, that wasn't his second appearance.
Good. Work, Mark Waid. Love you.
Love you. Doing great work.
That does it for this episode of Must Have Seen TV. Ethan, where do you want people to find you?
I'm on Instagram at EthanK55 and I'm on Blue Sky. I joined Blue Sky. I am tweeting into the void to my three followers, two of whom are, like anime of the day accounts. So I don't know, you know, I don't know if they're looking, but, thank you for everyone's following me on Blue Sky. It's a thing. I think I'm just EthanK.blue sky, whatever their weird convention.
I have one, but I haven't set it up. I got one and I was like, well, I'm just gonna wait and see what shakes out. I think Threads ain't happening.
Nope. I posted once on Threads and said, no, this is not worth it.
You can find Barb Hardly on Instagram at Barb Hardly, and you can also find me on YouTube at Barb Hardly, where I should be putting up my We're Here performance because did have a friend tape it. I should be doing that at some point. And that's it for me. I mean, I came back from Tennessee, a revitalized queen, and I'm ready to take the world by storm as long as I can get to the venue safely and timely and cheaply.
Yeah.
I don't know. as for Must Have Seen TV, please write and review us like literally anywhere. It'd be great. Subscribe on YouTube and leave comments because we'll read them. I just got to upload a whole bunch of episodes. You'll see them. What else am I doing today? Can I actually kick myself in the patootie? Make myself do something? Who knows? Thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. And I mean, I guess that's probably everything, right? It's been so long.
Well, I'm glad that we're back and people have been watching and listening. And I think that, that's been fantastic. So thank you everyone. Hooray. who's been part of this.
Bye everybody. We'll see y'all next time on Must Have Seen TV.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.